There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome down to the Rickshills podcast. This is season 2, episode number 2. And let me just start things off by thanking you so much for your amazing comments on episode number 1. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the audio on this one is slightly better. We've invested in a little bit of equipment, and not going to lie to you, it's taken me hours to set up. But fingers crossed, this sounds silkier. And we are backed with another cram-packed episode. We're going to be talking all things about golf, golf news, the videos that I've done on social media, and also a little bit about President's Cup, a little bit about the best brands of 2019, because there's been some amazing brands in my opinion in 2019, and we might even get some opinions on what we think has been the worst brands of 2019. Now, you saw him or you heard him in episode number 1. Producer Guy is back on the podcast, everybody.
Hello, Rick.
We should almost have like an artificial round of applause if we're doing it in front of a live audience. And also, we've got another guest to the channel, a good friend of mine. Not been on the channel for a while, but he's always a fantastic character when he does get involved, as long as he stays level-headed and not too angry. It's Mr. Matt Fryer.
Hello, everybody. I've not got a kind of monster, so hopefully I'll be on my best behaviour.
Yeah, me and Guy are rocking the monster at the moment. In fact, that brings us quite nicely into our first ad read, brought to you by Monster, I wish. One day, everybody. So, thanks again so much for the comments on episode number 1. We really enjoyed making it. Like I say, you can find it, as you always do, on iTunes and Spotify. And maybe down the line, if it starts to get popular enough, I'd love to film them and kind of put them on YouTube. It'd be quite cool, wouldn't it? Because at the moment, if you could see the setup, we are here in Rickshills Media HQ in Salford, Manchester. It's actually a sunny day as opposed to a bad day. It's the Friday before busy weekend. Guy is going on holiday tomorrow to Dubai, so he's in holiday mode.
I am, and I was looking forward to using this new microphone. And I've got Matt Fryer sat next to me, stealing it. So
it's quite intimate, though. We're close.
It is a little bit
dressed
intimate.
Dressed in the same attire.
So let's get cracking with the episode. So the first thing we're going to talk about, and fingers crossed the video has been released. It's currently in edit, but we're hoping to release it today. Nike Golf, what went wrong? So we teamed up with our good friends at Golf Bidder to sort out some old Nike golf clubs. Because if you remember correctly, 2016, August the 3rd, was when Nike decided to no longer make golf bag, golf balls, or golf clubs. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of a shock to the system, shock to the world. And if anybody knows more about this, it's the man that sits to my right, Mr. Guy Charnock, who at the time used to work for Nike.
I did, and I actually still remember getting the phone call. In fact, it was an email from our GM of Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And it was obviously to everybody in the business saying that we've got a conference call that evening. And it's one of those weird situations where I kind of still remember where it was. I used to have a van, had all my equipment in it. And I was in the van just near the Trafford Centre, near Trafford Golf Centre, which I know both obviously Rick and Matt know very well. And it was an email to say, not that I was looking at my phone when driving, but later on, it was an email to say that I think it was 3 or 4 p.m. there's a conference call. And that was it. That was all we heard. And we got on the conference call, and there was a rather short and quite sharp announcement that Nike were pulling out of hardware completely.
Which was a massive shot, wasn't it?
Huge.
I mean, still to this day, and this is 3 years later, you don't really know the actual facts behind why Nike pulled out. But we've made some speculations in our latest video what we feel like Nike did well, because they did a lot really well. You know, they had some of the best players in the world using their equipment, and they made some really good equipment towards the latter stages of development. Always the colours were a little bit suspect, granted, but they were really starting to make leaps and bounds, and then suddenly, overnight, gone. Mm-hmm. Did you ever play Nike, Matt?
No, never had a Nike club. I did used to love the look of the... Was it the original Tiger Woods iron? The blade that they did with like the TW stamped in the back, and I think, was it Fleetwood who carried on playing those for a good 2-3 seasons? And was it some story of him buying Paul Casey's spare set off him or something when he was running out of his? So never had them, but they looked fantastic, the irons especially.
And that was the thing, I must admit, even from day dot, Nike didn't start to make great golf clubs when they first kicked off in 2002, was it, Guy? It took them a long time, really found... It took a long time for them to find their feet. But you know, one of the things I always felt like they did well, I always felt like they did irons well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still remember one of the early reviews on my channel of the slingshot irons, almost saying that the most forgiving irons I've ever hit, and I would almost stand to that point still now today.
Amazingly easy, and it's probably the iron they're most remembered for, I would say.
Yeah, slingshot was mega popular because it wasn't overly priced. It was very much suited to your kind of beginner, high handicapper, etc. And also, typically, and this is what Nike was really maybe trying to change the dial a little bit, maybe not their normal consumer, maybe the slightly older man, the senior man who actually wanted a bit of support and a bit of help to get the ball up in the air, suddenly they're looking down on a Nike golf club, which probably came as a bit of a surprise
to
them.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that we mentioned in the video was the fact that the first line of product in 2002, certainly the Metal Woods, they weren't great. And it's very hard when you obviously enter an industry where you are known for other things to make a product that isn't perfect. And those drivers were far from perfect in terms of performance. It was a little bit before the era of launch monitors, so you know, there wasn't that data to kind of compare them against the TaylorMades of the day or the Titleists of the day, but the feel wasn't great. You could just clearly see they weren't travelling as far, they weren't coming off of the face as fast, and those early adopters that were willing to try Nike were quite quickly put off, and I think that left a stigma for a long time that Nike just weren't as good as their competitors.
Yeah, I mean, and you as a, you know, you were actually... you ended up leaving Nike as a fitter. Did you start to see it was becoming easier to switch people into Nike golf clubs, or was it still quite a challenge?
Both. The clubs were getting better, and certainly from 2013 was when the Covert first launched, and that was a serious product. I started at Nike in 2014, so I fitted with the Covert 2.0. And then, then they launched the Vapor product, which was very good. It was hard with some consumers because they still didn't see Nike as a real golf brand, as a true competitor to your TaylorMade, Titleist, Pings, etc. But a lot of people, when they tried it, were impressed. As you touched on before, Rick, that the big problem Nike had towards the later years was the colour scheme. And it doesn't sound a big deal, but even the red drivers, and this genuinely is not a joke, I would be fitting people for the red driver. They would gain yards on the current driver, but they wouldn't play it because they supported Man City or they supported Everton, who, if you don't know, if you're in the States, those obviously guys are playing in blue. So red's there, obviously, nemesis, and vice versa. When the drivers went to blue, certainly up in Scotland, where the football's massive, anyone that supported Celtic who don't like Rangers, who play in blue, they wouldn't want to use a blue driver. So the colour schemes, they were so out there that they put a lot of people off.
Yeah, I think the older generation, when I was working in a pro shop and you would try and sell them a blue driver, they looked down and they thought it was more of a sort of kid's toy sometimes. And like you say, they experienced improvement on what they were using currently, but because purely of a colour scheme, it just never got chance to get in the bag, which was, you know, a real shame because some of it, like you say, was fantastic product, but they just shot themselves in the foot with those eccentric colours.
Yeah, both points really, really well made. I think, like I said, the colours were so different to what we've seen in driver and golf clubs in the past. And it's a shame because they never always did that. They actually made some really classic-looking clubs. Not always, but what you could find, that I actually found it really nice when they brought out the Vapor driver, which was the grey-headed driver, a darker top, but actually had a bit more vault underneath. Yeah. That worked because one vault, nobody's got a football team with vault in the colours. Have they? Maybe. I almost feel like they made the colour vault up just because that would be something that nobody supports a team with vaulting. But also it was like, okay, you've got your flash of brightness, you've got your flash of colour, yet actually when you look down on the golf club, it doesn't look too, you know, garish. It had the big vault swoosh on the back, but that was it.
And that was clever with that Vapor product, because when you walked into a pro shop or a golf retail store, the vault was what you saw first, so it got you. And people walked over to it. Some people would think it looked horrendous, but they'd still grab it. And then by grabbing it, they put it in what would be behind the ball. And actually, it was quite simplistic. It had a little vault swoosh on it towards the heel, but the head shape was quite traditional. Then they might want to go and try it, and obviously the performance of it was great. It was such a shame, though, towards the end of 2015, start of 16, when they released the Vaporfly, they went for the bright blue, Nike called it Photo Blue driver, which was just so kind of garish and just out there.
Matt, question for you.
Hit me.
What, it's hard to say, granted, but since 2016 and 2019, Nike athletes, certainly wearing apparel, have won, well, tens of tournaments. Would that have been better for Nike golf if they were using golf clubs, or worse? Like, do you get the question there?
Yeah, I get where you're going.
Like, do you think,
with,
let's say this year, for example, Rory McIlroy, Nike player, he's had a fantastic season. 4 victories this season. Tiger Woods, he's had a fantastic season this season. A major and 3 victories. 2 victories? 3 victories? He's had a lot. If those guys were still using Nike clubs, would they have won more or less in that period of time?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I think if they were using them, maybe have won less, I would go for. If they were using the woods, particularly. If they stuck with just the irons, wedges, I know the ball wasn't a great success, really, on tour. They, you know, a lot of people switched out of it very quickly. Mm-hmm. I think from Nike's standpoint, the way I see it as a consumer of looking at, of watching golf on TV, I see so many more players wearing Nike apparel now, and I immediately jump to, like, oh, they're wearing Nike, that's fine, and I'd be, you know, comfortable to go and buy Nike clothing. But even if Tiger was still playing a Nike driver, I wouldn't probably go near it myself. So I think in terms for them as a brand, it's probably better, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think they're not losing out on any sales, really, because people are still buying the clothing. They've got more eyes on the clothing and probably boosted from there. But I don't think, in getting back to your original question, I don't think as many tournaments would have been won with Nike golf clubs.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, isn't it? One thing I want to pull you up on there, Matt, and Guy will give you a better description of this.
I know what you're going to say.
So often, I know when I first started reviewing Nike clubs, I would call it Nike clubs. What's the correct terminology, Guy?
It is Nike. I think a lot of the people in the US do say Nike. In the UK, it is pretty much everybody says Nike, but I can tell you, it is actually Nike.
And what reason?
I believe it was the Greek goddess of victory, which I think you pronounce actually Nike, but gets called Nike, so therefore it's Nike.
Something to do with his running days, wasn't it?
Bill Bowman. Yeah.
There you go. There you go, everybody. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoyed the video, guys. It was a nice little topic. And like I said, the reason why it came up is that off the back of such a successful 2019 for Nike golfers, we decided to make a really cool video and pull out, walk down memory lane, bag full of Nike golf clubs, and again connected it with Golf Bidder, our good friends there. Bringing us on to a key part of Nike, Mr. Tiger Woods. Coming up soon is the President's Cup. How arsed are we? That sounds quite a bold statement.
I'll let you get this one, Matt.
How bothered are we about the President's Cup being from the UK? Obviously, we're not involved. How bothered are we about spectating?
If I see it, I see it. If I don't, I don't. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Might maybe see a few shots and I'd be a little bit excited, but I'm not going to purposefully... Because it's in Australia, isn't it?
That's right.
So I'm not going to stay up till silly o'clock or get up at silly o'clock to watch it. It doesn't mean anything to me.
No, and it doesn't. And I think the only thing that I would possibly watch it for, and I might not be speaking out of line, but if Tiger wasn't playing, I almost think I wouldn't at all even watch it. The only time I'm going to watch it, obviously I love watching Tiger play with any capacity. I'm glad he is playing. It was picked yesterday that he is the captain's pick. He picked himself, which is rightfully so. It's rightfully so. He picked Tony Finau, Patrick Reed and Gary Woodland. They're the four remaining picks. Surprising didn't pick someone like Ricky Fowler. But if I'm honest, Ricky's not had a great year. He's been a bit off the boil.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you his last top 10. I don't know whether he's had one recently.
I feel like he's probably had some sneaky top 10s, but just never really pushed the envelope for any victories this year. But like I say, it'll be interesting to a degree. Can't wait for the Ryder Cup next year. I feel like, you know, certainly from us in the UK, what would be interesting to ask someone from Australia, are they bothered about the Ryder Cup? Possibly not.
Having Aussie friends, definitely. I know guys who will get up and watch it, and it'll be a big part of the golfing calendar for them.
So why do we not get him to the President's Cup? What's the difference?
That's a good question. And I think for me, when I watch the Ryder Cup, obviously I support Europe, obviously being a European. But I think I weirdly, and I know Rick's the opposite to this, I don't get amped up for the Ryder Cup until like the day before. It just doesn't, on paper, massively excite me. But then when I watch the build-up, I know Sky Sports have do a great job now of the build-up, and even on Sky Sports News, they have the countdown, etc., for when it's coming on. By the time it starts, I am kind of really up for it. I don't feel like I've seen that much of the President's Cup build-up. I might be wrong, but I don't feel like it's that talked about. I don't know.
I think things, certainly this day and age, get more amped up on social media, because obviously we're on social media a lot. If you go on Instagram or Twitter, there's a lot more about it. What would be interesting, if we weren't on social media, I honestly don't think we'd see anything about it. It's not being advertised on TV. It's not being advertised. Is it even aired on Sky Sports over here in the UK?
I think it is. And it's like if the question for you, how many President's Cups have you watched in the past? Could you reel them off? No, and there's, for me,
where
there's
was
no
it last year.
Yeah, exactly. There's no
in America
for us. I don't think there's that. In the Ryder Cup, there's so much history, and you can think of shots like Christy O'Connor hitting the 2-iron at the Belfry. You can think of again Paul Laurie jumping in the lake at 18, and there's that history as we grow up as kids. You know, when you're playing your match play over here, you have that little battle. Oh, this is to beat USA or whatever it is when you're playing it, as where for President's Cup, I couldn't tell you when it started. I don't know when the first President's Cup match was. I don't know how many there's been. I wouldn't know if it's on a yearly basis, which countries are fully involved. So I just don't have a connect to it.
If you've come to this podcast looking for some information about the President's Cup, I think it's safe to say you've come to the wrong place.
Yeah, I've got none.
Yeah. Established in 1994.
So it's, wow, that's young then.
So it's really young, yeah. Let's see, what's that? Is there any news? Yeah, not even on Wikipedia, I'll be honest, it's not very...
we need to update it after this.
It's not particularly very inspiring. Yeah, there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, a few matches.
Do we think that a little bit? Are we sometimes spoilt with social media, because I feel like now I don't watch that much golf because I know I get the highlights on either YouTube or on Instagram or Twitter, so I won't probably watch a single minute of the President's Cup, but yeah, if there is any good shots, I will see them on social media.
Yeah, you'll get clips, and even thinking back to watching European Tour when I was in, sort of when I would play quite a lot, I'd be wanting to watch it, seeing what they're doing as well. Now I think you're right, we can see the quick hits of who's done what and who's leading, and you know, find out who hit that great shot where and when. As where for me, I'll only watch majors, selected majors as well, Open, the Masters, might watch a bit of US Open, might watch a bit of PGA and the Ryder Cup, and that's it.
Yeah,
because I can get everything else, like you say, on Insta or Twitter or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think because of the instant, you know, connection content, let's say, you get right now when President's Cup's on, I'm sure I'll follow probably the President's Cup on social media for that period of time. It's at the start of December, but then very quickly unfollow for another 2 years until it kicks back off. Just to give you some stats, there's been one. So USA has won every single one of them so far. Bar one. The international team won in 1998 in Australia, actually by a demanding lead, 20.5 to 11.5, and there's been one tie break at 17-17 back in 2003. But pretty much the USA dominate the President's Cup from all accounts and purposes. So it'll be interesting. I'm kind of rooting for international team now because
My question would be, who would you support?
I'd support Tiger, and then I'd support the international team. That probably doesn't quite make sense. Like I say, hopefully it's going to be a good tournament. I'm sure it'll be fun to watch, and we'll be talking in a podcast in the future going, how good was the President's Cup? Let's see if that happens one day. Right, brings us quite nicely onto our first sponsor of the podcast this week. Now, we're very fortunate here at Rickshaw's Podcast that we've got a fantastic sponsor, a sponsor that's been an amazing support system to the podcast so far. Sponsored episode number one, and luckily we've asked again and they've sponsored episode number two.
I thought they were going to say no.
I did. I thought there's no way are they going to be impressed with podcast number one. Well, they've paid for this audio system and put this into place. Guys, make sure you go and follow the fantastic Facebook page of Rick Shields PGA. Free golf tips every day on there, posting new content. The following on there is growing at such a ridiculous rate. I think we're up to nearly 120,000 followers now, so thanks so much for that. It's a really nice platform to interact. Facebook has really changed my mind over the last few months and has become one of my favorite platforms.
Facebook is a happy place.
It is. Twitter's not so happy. No. Twitter can be very toxic and quite horrible. Don't if the at Rick Shields PGA Twitter account ever wants to sponsor the podcast, we're saying no.
Just a quick note while we're on the topic of social media and numbers. And if you listened pretty much, I think it was towards the end of the last episode, we said we were just short of 200 million views on YouTube. And we did say that if you watched the videos and repeat watched, that we might send you out a check in the post. And we've actually hit 200 million views.
Scrap the check in the post. Let's get rid of that idea, please. No, amazing. Yeah, 200. Who would have thought it? 200 million total views on the YouTube channel, which is astonishing. So thanks so much for your support. That's in the 5 or 6 years that it's been going. In the last year, the last 365 days, we've had 65 million views. So the views seem to just be going up at the moment, which is great. So thanks so much for your support. And 1.2 billion minutes watched on the channel. Billion.
Just for context, I actually worked out before, Rick. And that equates to, I think, roughly 2,300 years of minutes to watch.
Wow. That's ridiculous. So thank you so much, guys. Like I say, I love making content on there. We've got some more fun videos coming up soon, so make sure you stay tuned to that. And I think by next podcast, if we can just aim for like maybe 500 million views.
Yeah.
So guys, if you just put every computer on the house on repeat, and phone and internet source, go into the Apple store and just go onto every Mac, open YouTube, type Rick Shields, start from newest and play throughout. That'd be great. Thanks for your support. That is fun. We enjoy doing it. Right, next point. As we come to the tail end of 2019 and before we start seeing new product for 2020, because it is around the corner, I'm already starting seeing glimpses and getting very excited about what's coming out in 2020. And do not threat, it will be reviewed in some way, shape or form, either a main review or it will be a review show, which hopefully will be coming again soon. Matt, question for you. You're not sponsored. Are you sponsored by a manufacturer?
No.
Okay, good. And Guy's not, and I'm not. Brands 2019, who's had the best year 2019, Matt?
Cobra would be probably the one that sticks in my mind with their driver. They seem to have really hit a sweet spot with the other companies charging quite considerable amounts. I'm coming in underneath them, and from what I see from lessons, definitely I've seen an influx of people coming in with a Cobra driver, as where it was always generally Ping, TaylorMade or Callaway. You know, say out of 10 drivers, it was probably 3, 3, 4, as where now Cobras are coming in with three of those along there. And irons wise, maybe not so much, but I think on a driver standpoint, that's been the one for me.
Yeah, can't argue with that. I think the driver this year has been incredible. I've had it in the bag since January. For me, it had a lot of different things to offer. Some technologies we've definitely seen before, but surrounded into a much more promising driver from Cobra. I've never been the biggest fan of Cobra drivers, so this one came as a little bit of a shock to me. And like you mentioned before, it's at a different price point. It's £350. It's not £500 like TaylorMade and Callaway. And it's delivering the numbers that you'd want to expect. And also, even like the daft things, like the things that we overlook, like the milling of the face, the GNC milling of the face, that's awesome. And that looks so cool on a driver.
Smart. I agree. But I'm going to ask either of you to name me what Cobra's wedges are called.
The Sugar Daddies. No.
Sugar Daddy.
Sugar Daddy.
PhD.
Pure. P-U-R.
Okay. Let you off.
What are you trying to say?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think.
I think, because we haven't determined, we haven't got a definition of best. And I think from our point of view, it's who has made the most ground in terms of like what Matt said in people's bags. I do agree that the driver has been phenomenal. I think the price point has been very clever. It's performed. It's got the Arcos in the grip. It's got the milled face. It's a great club. But for me, and this is a bit of a curveball, and it's kind of cringe saying it, but I actually think TaylorMade have. And the reason for that is, I think this year, and possibly last year, but this year, TaylorMade, I would say, rival Titleist for the most all-round golf bag. They've got obviously great drivers, which we know we expect. The irons are solid and have been for a number of years. But this year in particular, I think with the Spider X, it's really strengthened that Spider franchise. I think the TP5 and the TPX is a solid golf ball. And it's become the kind of golf ball where if your playing partner uses that over a Pro V1, you almost don't question them anymore. It used to be a bit like, why are you using a TaylorMade ball? Whereas now it's like, it's a proper golf ball. And I think even though with the new wedges, there's been some argument that the face being rusty is a bit gimmicky, but the wedges are really good.
Beautiful. They are. Yeah, they're good looking wedges.
So I just think for me, although it's a bit of a boring brand to say, because it's kind of one of the mainstream brands, but through the bag, they have been really good this year.
Yeah. Again, I can't argue with that. I think as an overall brand, you look at what TaylorMade have done this year, last year, or even 2 years ago, and you had them in the bag, Matt, and I don't know if you still have. The best irons, I honestly believe, that have probably ever been made for the biggest, widest audience of golfers, from hackers to me. Matt Fryer, the P790s. Have you still got them in the bag?
Yeah, I've still got mine in my bag and think they're great. They do sometimes, you get that odd jumpy shot, but I think you're right. You know, I'll teach guys who come in who are off, you know, 20 handicap, and they've got the same irons as me, obviously a different shaft and, you know, spec, but they look, oh, right, we're using the same irons, and it does cover that real broad spectrum there.
Yeah, and you always need distance, to be fair, as well,
yeah,
Matt. So.
I do, yeah, to try and get it up there. But when what Guy's just said there, I think you are right. And do you think that's to do with the signing of more of the, you know, your Tiger Woods, Jason Day? They've really got a stronghold of some of the world's best players now, so having an input from them is helping them get that sort of all-round classification.
It's not a bad shout, Matt, because like you said...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you look at their stable now, Tiger, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day,
John Rahm.
And then you've got Ricky on the ball.
On the ball, which was a shock to everybody and still is a bit weird.
There's even like the likes of your Matt Wolfs coming up. So you've got these kids who are coming. I would imagine they're quite deep in the college game as well, testing with those guys and getting a lot of product in with them over in the States. So they've probably got a pool that's so deep to actually test and get as a sounding board is why they've probably got to that, you know, like you say, the full bag being a star.
Yeah. You know what? The more I think about it, the more I can't overlook any other brand bar TaylorMade. Some of me thinks Titleist, but yeah. Titleist have kind of, if we were to put a league table across the last 10 years of the brand of the year, Titleist would probably win it majority of the time.
Agreed.
The only downside, this is my own personal view, is that it's so good and it's so consistent, I almost expect it. So, like, for example, I hate to say that because when I was playing golf before I worked for Nike, most of my clubs that I went out and bought myself would be Titleist. I had Vokies, a Scotty, AP2s, etc. And it's now, if someone said to me, you can go out and have a full bag, but it's all going to be one brand, and obviously ball included, it would be between probably Titleist and TaylorMade. But it just feels like Titleist is just not too solid, not too consistent, because that doesn't make sense. But some that doesn't excite me.
Yeah, you want to be wild. You want them to bring something out, and you go, oh my God, I didn't expect that from you. And it's amazing.
And that this year they did do that. They brought out, end of last year, they brought out new product lines with the drivers. So obviously the TS had new names, etc. The irons, although they are essentially AP2s, etc., have got new names. They have tried that a little bit, and it does work. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't quite, I don't know.
They're potentially not as innovative as TaylorMade. Like, I honestly, and I've not seen any, I don't know what they're going to bring out for next year. I have no idea on the driver.
This TaylorMade.
But I'm excited. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm excited to see it. I'll sit in that TaylorMade meeting when they present the next product for next year, and we will go in with no idea what they're going to show us, but be like, ah, wow. Okay, that makes sense. That doesn't.
Yeah.
I feel like Titleist, I'd be like, okay. Yeah, and a bit like Ping, same again, guys. Should we just change the name again? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, to some degree, there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, if it works, don't fix it. It just, I don't know, going back to your point there, Guy, about the fact that you go in and you want to be wild and you want to be excited, I think that is part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to have clubs in your bag that your mates are asking, oh, what are those new irons like? You don't want to go to tee up and everyone go, oh, you got Titleist.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the, like, even, you know, sometimes when people, like the reviews online and stuff, and they're talking. I think part of the hobby is going out and buying a nice golf club. And when I was playing as an amateur, it was save up, like as a kid, sort of save up to get the new club. And it was like, oh, I've just got this. And you think, oh, it's, you know, shiny, sparkly, it does all this. And it was a real part of the experience of just being a golfer as well. And I don't get that from Titleist that much, but TaylorMade, like you say, I would always be eyes on whatever they release. I want to know what it is.
And I agree. On the flip side of that, last thing I'd say on this though, if I went to a driving range and someone said you can hit any balls you want, I'd say I'll have some Pro V1s. If someone said you can have any putter you want, I'd probably go, I'll have a Scotty. Wedges, I'll have Vokies.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's the brand
Catch
that...
22, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, last point then. We've praised what we think is the best brand of 2019. And to be fair, I think, as we mentioned, Cobra have done some nice bits and spells, and TaylorMade have possibly pushed the envelope again. And, you know, Callaway have had a quietish year. What's been the worst brand?
I'm going to throw a curveball in here, and it's probably going to get a lot of hate. So I apologise if this offends anybody. Mizuno.
Ooh.
Wow.
Let me tell you why.
Wow.
The irons,
I feel like we've got to put some protection out for you.
Yeah,
here,
I know. I am sorry.
Mizuno
Don't get me wrong.
Is gonna be.
I would have a set of their irons tomorrow. The irons are class. We know that. Everybody knows that. We obviously did the video recently, which was the kind of blind test where we let golfers try out loads of different brands, and Mizuno came out, was feeling the best. So that is absolutely a given. The reason I'm saying Mizuno is they're still pushing the golf ball, they're still pushing wedges, they're still pushing metals, but they don't seem to have gained much traction. I don't see many Mizuno drivers in people's bags. I don't know anybody.
What have you got?
Mizuno.
Okay.
Driver.
Mizuno driver, Mizuno wedges.
This point's not going down very well. But we don't see many drivers. We don't see many people using the ball.
Oh, not the ball.
And although the wedges are good, I feel like people would only have Mizuno wedges because they've got Mizuno irons.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, if you're a Mizuno fan, yes, you have everything. I followed a Facebook page on Mizuno, I don't know what it's called, MizunoFanboys.com. And often, when pictures get put on there, it is a Mizuno bag, tour bag, off standard. Mizuno driver, Mizuno three wood, Mizuno hybrid, Mizuno irons, Mizuno wedges, Mizuno putter, Mizuno shoes, Mizuno ball. Like, they will have everything Mizuno. That's like die hard fans. And that's great to have. But like, they make amazing irons. You almost feel like, what would be your advice, Guy? Would you say stick in your lane and make the best irons in the world, or try and get better at everything else?
That is the only reason I'm saying they've had the worst year isn't because the irons are phenomenal, but it's because they're trying these other avenues but don't seem to be massively gaining traction. So if they was just sticking to making irons, I would say they've had a class year because the new irons are really, really good.
And players like Brooke Koepka are putting them in the bag without him being paid.
Exactly. But it's just the fact that, this is all feelings and thoughts. I don't have any stats on this, so I don't know how well the ball is selling, etc. But you don't see it. You don't
never know. And like you said, imagine if your mate turned up with a Mizuno ball. You'd be like,
what are you doing, mate?
Why are you playing with that? Like, what's that about?
Just think, if they went down the route of a Cobra, and sort of undercut everyone on price, that would be one way of getting the driver into more people's bags. Because from my opinion, the driver's great, looks brilliant, feels great. But some people might go, well, I'm 349 or 399, whatever it is. I'll just pay 50 quid more for a TaylorMade.
Yeah.
You know what I'd see? This is bold. I'd love to see a collaboration between Cobra and Mizuno. They merge into one. Cobra make the woods because you're really good at making woods. Ooh. Mizuno, you make the irons. Sack off wedges. Sack off putters, both of you. Yeah. But that's never going to happen. You know a brand that I've been left very uninspired about this year?
I think I can guess.
PXG. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just considering they come out with all these bold claims. And I'm half of me likes PXG, half of me doesn't. I've met Bob Parsons in the past, a couple of years ago. And actually, after I've met him, I actually understood the brand a lot more, and the fact that he charges obscene amount of money, but that's the world he lives in. He is a billionaire.
Yeah, it's like buying a Rolls Royce, isn't it, really?
I didn't think we'd say billion so much in a podcast. He's a billionaire. And, you know, the friends that he hangs around with, the circles of people he mixes with, he would never make cheap golf clubs. That's just period. Where what I found this year, I just don't feel like the new stuff has been... I was quite excited when I first saw the first generations of the PXG stuff. Yeah. I thought, for a first product, it's bloody awesome. You know, we go back to when Nike, the biggest sports brand in the world, started to bring out products. Their first products were poor. PXG never had that period of time where they made poor products. They can't in this day and age, and with that much money. They obviously invested in the best engineers, pinched a lot of them from Ping. Made the best golf clubs, you know, the unbelievable golf clubs. And I was excited to see Gen 2, Gen 3, what's coming up next. And it's just been a bit,
I feel that way, for me, like, about Honda as well. I saw them, I noticed they've gone into American Golf now. And I picked one of the clubs up the other day. And it was like, I think the driver was 599. And I thought it was from the Argos catalogue. Looked at it and I was a bit, is that it? That's what everyone's been shouting about.
Is this
about.
The, what's it called now? Something one, AP, no,
something
can't be
like
AP1,
that. And then that and the driving iron, I think it was, or the utility rescue club, was just, it wasn't setting the world on fire when you put behind it. It wasn't like, I need to have that in my bag. And
yeah,
the way they were spoke
XP1 about. XP1 is the Honda driver, XP1.
I think I've had this discussion with Rick on several occasions. I think some of these brands that are, charging so much for their product, it doesn't really work when they try and align that with a performance message. So, for example, if you went into a... There's a shop in London I was in recently, a golf store, and they have, like, Bentley golf clubs, like the car manufacturer. I think it's, like, 10 grand for a set of irons. Now, they don't claim to be any better than a Titleist set or whatever, but the guy that... Or the person that buys those is the person that drives a Bentley that is a billionaire.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice.
Exactly. Whereas with PXG, it's that bit... Well, the driver's, like, £100, £200 more than the Callaway or Ping or whatever. But they also claim it's better, but it isn't... So then when you go and try that in a store and you see it perform the same as a Ping or a Callaway or a Cobra or whatever, why are you going to pay £200 more? It's just that weird like area of like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. If it's, you can't, for those big priced manufacturers, I don't think performance should be it. It's the lifestyle of it, you know.
Exactly.
You know, whatever car you've come in today and whatever, you know, your mate comes in, they're both going to get you from A to B. One might be a, you know, a Volvo, the other guy might turn up in a Range Rover. They both do the same job, but the message from the Range Rover seller would be, you know, your ride's in more comfort, you're luxurious, not that it's a better, you know, more performance car in terms of speed or anything, but you'd feel, you know, your lifestyle's better if you're in it.
I find the analogy with cars a little bit different, a little bit harder to... It's not quite a perfect comparison because a car has got performance benefits.
Rolex and Casio's are best.
That's a better one. And I always think of even like a suit from Savile Row or a suit from Next, you know, on like, you know, just a reads. That feels more like a comparison because with a car, there is actual measurable performance benefits. You could take both cars onto a track, a Range Rover, a Volvo, and let's say, unless that Volvo's been spec'd up, more likely the Range Rover's going
to
win. Whatever, normally the price of the vehicle...
The speed limit.
Correct. This is on an empty track, late at night, when we have those mad rides, Matt, at 11 o'clock. You know, there is performance benefits where, like Guy said, a Casio and a Rolex, it's been tested and proven that a Casio is actually more reliable.
I mean, another example we can use this all day, I always think, is like a belt. You could buy a belt for your trousers for £4.99 or $5, whatever, or a Hermes belt for £500. You would see no literature that the Hermes belt will hold up your pants any better, but yet you're buying it for those luxury, the feel of it, you know, the status symbol, so to speak. If a PXG driver was £5,000 and it was just that because it is, I feel like I'd almost weirdly have more respect for that. It's when they claim and they have these real bold claims that they outperform everything else. Well, we can prove that they don't, so why am I paying more?
Yeah, no, here. Yeah, I think that's a very good point, and I need to take that Hermes belt back because it broke the other day.
It doesn't hold your pants off.
No, it doesn't at all. And then we're going to answer some of your questions again because we've got some loads great from social media. Just a quick point, a video I released last week, and I'm sure you might have seen it. Hopefully you did. It surprised me on views, actually. I put some new irons in the bag. I tested some new irons, which I honestly regretted I didn't review earlier in the year. As I mentioned in the video, I get sent a lot of products. Sometimes, for whatever reason, I don't get around to testing it. I don't fancy it at the time. It just wasn't as interesting for me. But I remember seeing these clubs in the garage, and I was like, they look quite nice. So picked them back up, took them out, got a full set. And they were the Ping Blueprint irons, and they're in the bag at the moment. I've not played any much golf with them just yet, but I will keep you up to date to whether they will stay in the bag for the rest of the year. New what's in the bag will be coming before 2020 arrives.
I've got a question for the listeners, Rick, and if they could tweet us or get us on Instagram to kind of answer this. But how would
we don't like Twitter? Just use Instagram or Facebook, please.
I'll ask you this as well. I've not run this by you yet, but how would you and or the audience feel about if we did some reviews that were actually like audio reviews? So let's say a set of clubs come in that we haven't really got time to make a full YouTube video on, but people want to know your thoughts on them. Maybe we go and review them and we kind of give that a little section on the podcast.
I like it. We'd have to be inventive, creative in the way that we actually, you know, assess that. But I think maybe the listening to the podcast, if I'm not mistaken, might want to know a little bit more about numbers, might want to know a little bit more about spin, and that's fine. We can add a little bit of that in. You might have noticed I've subtracted a little bit of that from my YouTube content at the moment, because as much as it's important, we don't want to get bogged down in numbers. They're my numbers. I can just give you a bit of a baseline, but if you want to dive into it a little bit more, maybe we could do it on the podcast.
And I think this could be clubs that have been out for a little while that we haven't had a chance to review yet, so obviously we don't have to really talk about the looks because people will know what they look like already. So I think that could be something moving forward that could work, but let us know.
Potentially. A putter review would be a bit boring, but yeah, we'll do irons and drivers, maybe. Guy, did we get any questions coming in?
We have got a lot of questions, Rick. So, a lot of the people are asking questions about tips. So we said that last week, that is quite hard to do, because obviously we don't know your swings like, but do check out the Facebook page because there's literally videos every single day on there. We get asked this a lot, Rick, and this is from MaxB941. Do you keep the clubs you review?
It's a good question. I do. I often keep the clubs I review. There's a few reasons for that. First off, a lot of the irons that I review actually only come in kind of sample irons. More recently, I've been getting full sets of irons. The drivers I keep because of historic value. Let's say next year, TaylorMade bring out a driver and it has a resembling feature to a driver they brought out 3 years ago. Let's say a Jet Speed. Well, so straight away, I want to know, I've got a Jet Speed to hand and I can compare that against the new X driver that's going to come out from TaylorMade, let's say. So I do store a lot of it. I do give it away to friends. Matt Fryer currently has a Mizuno driver that I believe is mine. He's just reminded me on this podcast actually that it is mine, so I need to get that back off him. And I think you've got some clubs in my bag at the moment.
I've got the Spider and I've got a Mizuno 2-iron. So those Mizuno people that think I hate Mizuno, I don't. I have got a 2-iron in the bag.
He's just covering his own back there. But yeah, I do get asked that question a lot.
Okay, next question. I'm going to actually ask this to pass this around the table. I'm going to start first, and then I'm going to pass it to Matt, and then we're going to leave Rick to last. From golf24_7dd, what is your favourite driver? Now, I'm guessing this can be interpreted in any way. I'm going to use it of all time. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to start off to know what I'm going to go with. And I'm going to go with, drum roll, the Titleist 983K.
I was literally about to say that. That was one of my favourite. No. Callaway, what was it called now? The FT3.
Oh, the carbon.
Yeah, the like one of their first carbon ones. Awesome.
No pressure, Rick.
Yeah, they're good ones. I am going to go with... I must admit, Titleist made some good woods back in the day. I'm going to go a little bit more modern for our future, more modern listeners. You know, I don't want to go back too far. I honestly think one of the best drivers that ever made was the TaylorMade M2 Original. If you can still pick one of those up for a good price, it's definitely worth it because it seems to just have everything and it sounded unreal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably go 983K. Something along those lines was pretty sick.
So another question, I think, will be quite interesting to pass around the table, but I'll hear, we've got to go with Rick first in this one. What would be your tips for getting fit for a putter?
I think it's a couple of things. First off, I think too many, this is wrong. Not enough people overlook the looks. If you want to get fit for a putter, yeah, go and get a professional fitting. Somewhere actually go into a manufacturer is better. So I know Ping do an incredible putting service. Even the app that they created a couple of years ago, the putting app that they use, is still incredibly accurate and incredibly popular. You attach your phone basically onto the golf club. It's really cool. But I used to do a little thing, and I don't think you'll be far away if you did this. Go to like a retail store, like an American Golf or something, and have like a putting green or whatever, and pick out 5 or 6 putters you like the look of, and basically just do an elimination test. I used to do this all the time when I was a kid. You know, put until there's one that you don't like, one that you miss a few more often than the others. Okay, put that to the side, put that back on the rack, go for your next one. And over time, you whittle it down to just one. And that might not be perfect for you, but if it's whole inputs and you like the feel of it, you like the look of it, you're probably not going to be too far away from the mark.
I think for me, I see it on there's two massively polar kind of thoughts I have on this. The first one is that if you go for a full putter fitting, it can be incredible. So I went along with my brother, I think it was last year, and he went to Lee Sullivan at Torrex Golf and got a full Odyssey putter fitting, and it was class. It was really insightful, and it was so good. So I would massively recommend that. On the flip side, and kind of going back to what you've just said, how often I've maybe picked one of the putters up out of your bags or whatever, and I've had a quick swing with it, and I thought, that feels class. Gone and used it and putted class with it. I don't know what length it is, don't know the lie angle, don't know the weight in, but it just feels good, gives me confidence, and I've hold everything to look at. So it feels like there's kind of a spectrum of one end I should be saying, go and get fit, But also it's like sometimes like, you can get a random old putter that feels class, gives you confidence and you hold everything.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion there with you, Guy. We went to Lee Sullivan recently and even talking about how manufacturers make like the toe hangs and things, and if you have certain tendencies in your stroke, they almost become irrelevant, and that was a bit of a quick way for manufacturers to get you fit into a putter. But again, you know, a good putter in my eyes can putt with anything really if you can just get the ball rolling. So it comes down, I think, very much to feels, and as you stand over it, if you like the look of it, you know, you gain some confidence, so you're going to put a good stroke on it. If it feels the right weight in your hands, the grip feels the same. I've had one putter with one grip on it, changed it to another grip and it felt like a totally different putter and it went out of the bag straight away. So I think you either do like what Rick said, the elimination process, and pick it that way, or you go down the route of a full fit, and then at least you know you've got that putter that's specifically for you.
Yeah, I must admit, the grip makes a massive difference. Yeah, in my, like, if I pick up a putter and it's got a skinny grip on now, I just put it back. Yeah, I just can't use them.
Yeah,
it needs to be a thicker grip.
I'm skinny now.
You've gone skinny grip.
Skinnier, yeah, it's weird.
Okay, so let's wrap this up in a minute. But one of the last questions then, I can't actually find it, but I remember it from before, was something along the lines of, I think you saw it as well, Rick. Was it, should I try or should I buy secondhand golf clubs? I think it was, should I try?
Yeah, what's your opinion on secondhand golf clubs and should I buy them? Yeah, God, secondhand golf clubs are great. Now, this comes with a word of warning. You saw recently in a recent video that I did where I bought a driver that was online and it was cheap and it turned out to be fake. This is where you've got to be careful, because if you go to a site where, you know, the normal person is selling golf clubs, then places like Gumtree, eBay, Facebook, you run a risk of the product being not up to scratch. It might be cheap, so you might want to take a gamble, but be warned, there is times where the product will not be in the correct condition. It might be fake, it might be faulty, whatever it is, and you've got no comeback. You might see me do videos with my good friends at GolfBidder. They're a great website. I know they are only based in the UK and Europe, but it's a trusted site. They check everything. If they don't allow fakes in, they go through all the serial numbers. They know how to identify fakes. So you don't get any, you know, you don't get any surprises when the golf club arrives at your door, secondhand clubs. If you can, test clubs. You know, one of my favourite things, we have I'll tell you where we were, Guy. Do you remember when we went to Scottish Golf Show last year?
And
what, I can't remember what that shop was called, but there was a retail shop in the Scottish Golf Show, right? And me and Guy, we were walking around the Scottish Golf Show, you know, just taking it all in. A lot of things we've seen before a million times over, so it was a bit, whatever. I was there working with Garmin, which was really cool. But we scooted off, and we found a little retail shop. And this retail shop, you get your normal stuff, your nice shoes, your clothes, your bags and everything else. And tucked around the corner was heaven. It was a rack, and a big rack at that, of second-hand clothes. Sorry. I didn't mean like that.
Everyone's always just...
No
disrespect. Up then.
No disrespect to any of the brands that were there, but I can honestly say I was more excited with that little Aladdin's cave than anything at the golf show.
Guy loved the rack. He was all over it.
I think, you know, the original question is all about second-hand clubs. You can, you know, some people, obviously money's a strange thing and you might not
Sorry,
have.
Just a quick one. Let me start there, Matt. Have we talked about what this rack was? Did we say it was secondhand
clubs?
That was
it. It was a great rack.
It was a rack of secondhand golf clubs, and me and Guy probably spent half an hour picking up old clubs and, you know, literally looking at a Scotty Cameron that was like secondhand for maybe 120 quid and going, I need this putter.
You know,
I need this putter in my life.
You know why that's so good? For two reasons. As a golf nerd, which I think all three of us are, to see old clubs that are like really good value is great, but the memories.
Yeah,
you see
exactly.
A wedge you had as a junior, or your mate's hybrid he used to have.
If I'd have seen a Cobra Trusty Rusty there, I was buying it.
Do you remember they were in 57 degrees as well?
54.
What happened to Cobra with the wedges?
Yeah.
Well, it was odd numbers. 53, 55, 57, 59, 61. Cobra, bring the Trusty Rusty back, guys. That's why you're going wrong.
And that, like, the point there, you can get, old, like, maybe a year-old product or something. Like, it might be, say, a Mizuno old blade. I know you love Mizuno, Guy. You can get the MP30 or something for £100 or whatever it may be. So you know you're going to still get, you know, maybe a top-line brand for a good price as you
as you do invest in some second-hand clubs, you might not have the money to go and, you know, spend 2,000 quid on a new set of TaylorMades that are like last year's one. So you just pay last year's one second-hand for 500 or something like that. So I think there's a lot of value in them, definitely. And that memory side, again, you might, I think definitely in the putter side, you know, get some old Scotty Camerons or a, you know, like imagine the, I had a Odyssey DFX2 ball. Remember
the
those?
Black one.
The black one. With, yeah. If I found one of those again, the blade one, oh, snap it up straight away.
If anyone's got a.
Is that not what Ian Finnis recently bought for Tommy?
Finno. Is that right?
Finno bought one. Yeah.
For his birthday.
Yeah. It's that exact model, I think.
So, yeah, going back to your question, nothing wrong with secondhand clubs, just be careful where you get them from. And if you find a big rack, dive in.
Yes.
I think that's the typical thing to get your face stuck in. Our second advert is actually brought to you today by Matt Fryer. Matt Fryer's got a little ad read to give us.
Go on, Matt.
So if you ever are struggling with your game, do head over to Matt Fryer YouTube Golf, because he's going to be helping you out with some friendly tips. And he's proud to sponsor the Rick Shields podcast.
Wow. I can't, honestly, second episode in and we've got all these sponsors already. It's crazy. So, yeah, guys, go and check out Matt. He's a really good friend of mine. He coaches at Trafford Golf Centre. If you ever want a lesson, make sure you go and give him a call. I think the number's still 0161749 3000 7000. 0161
Spiel die option 2.
What did I just say then? 0161 749 7000.
That's it.
Ask for Matt. Say Rick sent you.
I'm the go, and book
a, go and book a lesson with Matt. Like I say, it's been really good to be on the podcast today. Guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Let us know on Instagram and Facebook, not Twitter, whether you want the podcast to be recorded audio visually, because I think it'd be something we look into into the future. Because as much as you get, what we've been spoilt with YouTube analytics, and I can tell what retention people watch for and everything else. With the podcast, it's nothing. You get a view and that's it. So I want to know a little bit more. And if we did it on YouTube, we'd actually get a little bit more insight as
this
well.
This can be a test then to see how long people listen for. I actually love Mizuno, and everything I said before wasn't true. So,
guys, Mizuno fan club, comment on Instagram or something.
Exactly.
He's just
covering his back, because I've just looked out the window and it's actually like a full on vigilante.
He's got an ST180 with all the weights.
There's a collection of Mizuno fanboys just outside the window ready to take the guy down. Thanks for watching, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the Rick Shields podcast season 2 episode 2. Make sure you stay tuned for lots more videos coming your way soon. We've got loads of Facebook videos, YouTube, etc, etc. Thanks for watching, and that is out from me, Matt and Guy, and we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.